Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of an Advent and Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Advent and Christmas sermons.
I don't think Archbishop Carlson needs to be taking any lessons in caring for the poor from a group of activists whose own movement is spending a heck of a lot of money on a political agenda rather than caring for the poor themselves.
This argument that, well, these embryos are going to die anyway, yeah, that's true because we intend to kill them for research.
You have many, many medical professional groups now saying, you do what the patient wants. That is taking away the professionalism of medicine and turning it into an order-taking technocracy.
You don't want to put the power of determining what you're going to preach on, how we're going to worship, what words we're going to speak to God in the hands of any one man.
Well, in about 20 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. Just a taste of what we have for you in 20 minutes. Four Issues Etc. soundbites for you to listen to. We'll play them for you, and then your chance to vote for Soundbite of the Week. Your reasons are your own. You just give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, and vote for Soundbite of the Week in about 20 minutes. You could email us to talkback@issuesetc.org or Twitter us at @issuesetc. In fact, one of those soundbites came from Pastor Heath Curtis, and he's our guest for the next 10 minutes of the program. As we talk about St. Nicholas, the church will be remembering St. Nicholas Sunday, December the 6th. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Heath, welcome back.
Good to be here.
I think we were talking some time back, either on or the off the air, and you were talking about how you in the Curtis household celebrate St. Nicholas Day by putting chocolate in shoes. Sounds a little unsanitary to me. But how much of the alleged St. Nicholas-Santa Claus connection do you make with the kids when you observe St. Nicholas Day?
Well, what we do is we're just very upfront, and we tell the kids that Santa Claus is not real, and that it's kind of a secular ride. I mean, we just tell them the whole story. We tell them who St. Nicholas really is, and we say how he got mixed up in this Santa Claus thing, and so that's why you're going to hear your friends do Santa Claus. That's why we don't do that at home. Instead, we talk about the real St. Nicholas on his day.
So let's go back to the 4th century here and locate him both in history. I mean, this is a significant time in church history for the man to have lived.
Yeah, he's living right at that time when the church, well, there are two bad things going on. One is Arianism, and this priest from Alexandria, Egypt, stands up and says, Jesus Christ is not really God, and the church responds to that. But in the midst of that response, what's also going on is the Roman state is seeking to co-opt the church into the state religion. And so Nicholas is kind of caught in the middle of that. He's at the Council of Nicaea, which is, of course, part of that state takeover of the church, because that's called by Emperor Constantine. But he's there. He's a staunch defender of Orthodox Christianity, a staunch defender of the divinity of our Lord, and was an all-around tough guy when it came to battling not only Arianism, but also the leftover paganism in his diocese as well.
Is there any, it may not be him, I might be mixing him up with someone else, but I'd heard at one time that at least legends attributes to him more than just the tough guy image. He's said to have slapped Arius or one of his cronies.
Right. Supposedly this takes place at the council, so it could not have been Arius, because, of course, he's not invited because he's just a priest. But it may have been Eusebius of Nicomedia that he slapped her. But it appears to be a historical event that he gets frustrated at a point in the debate and slaps him. But then the rest of the bishops very appropriately kind of set Nicholas aside, and they have a little mini trial about whether or not he should be deposed from his see because of his violent outburst. But he repents and is restored and goes on to a long and prosperous career.
Why is St. Nicholas, even aside from the whole Santa Claus thing, why is he associated with gift-giving?
One of the oldest traditions about him is that he was born himself into a very wealthy family, and that then he he entered service into the church, decided not to marry, had no family of his own to care for, and so he was very free and very generous with the patrimony that he had been given. And the famous story is that a man in his diocese was in very dire straits, such that his children wouldn't get married, or in some tellings of the story, would even have to be sold into slavery. And, you know, word of this gets to Nicholas, and so he, by night, drops 3 bags of gold for the 3 daughters of this man through their window. And so that's how the gift-giving comes. That's how the sneaking in at night comes. And it's even why pawnbrokers have 3 golden balls as their symbol, because St. Nicholas is the patron saint of pawnbrokers as well, and those are his 3 sacks.
Then what was it to be a bishop in the 4th century?
That's also an interesting question. Of course, I mean, historically in the earliest church in the New Testament, the word bishop and priest, they're the same. They refer to the same office, to the same men in the same office. There's no biblical distinction amongst holders of the office of the ministry. It's just one office. But as the church gets co-opted by the state, they take on the same sort of hierarchy as the state. For example, the word diocese, that's not a church word. That's a state word. They got that from the division of the Roman Empire, created, ironically enough, by Diocletian, the great persecutor of the church. And so as the church develops, the bishop comes to be the kind of the head pastor of a region, analogous to a governor, as opposed to, you know, a mayor, which would just be the priest.
Okay, we have this man who is, by legend, a generous man. Mm-hmm. At the same time, living himself probably a rather austere life. What other legends are attached to St. Nicholas?
He is also known for mercy and matters of justice. Supposedly, word got to him that the Roman governor of his province had taken a bribe and condemned 3 men to death. And the legend is that St. Nicholas goes to the execution and physically, again, it's another kind of tough guy, action hero, St. Nicholas. He goes to the and grabs the executioner's hand and tells him, "You're not going to kill these guys." And then he preaches such a vociferous accusatory sermon at Eustathius, this governor, that he repents and lets the guys go. And that is actually that's the story that originally made Nicholas so famous. The story of the generosity kind of comes in later.
Why is the 6th of December his day?
I assume that's either going to be the day that he died or that he was translated. Most saint days is either the day that the person dies or the day sometimes that their bones were moved from one place to another. That's called a translation. And as far as I know, it's the day he died. Almost every saint day, it's called their heavenly birthday, the day they go to rest with our Lord and await the resurrection.
So how did we get from this guy who, in his own right, has a history in the annals of the church's story,
mm-hmm,
to the red-wearing, ermine-capped, you know, white-bearded character that is all over mass marketing, not just
right
during Christmas, but pretty much year-round nowadays?
Right, yeah. It's a strange story of an interplay of Protestantism and good old-fashioned marketing, as you point out. Santa Claus, of course, it comes from Latin, Sancta Nicholas. And then, of course, in the North countries, Nicholas gets shortened to Klaus. And so it's St. Klaus, Santa Claus. And in America, historians who trace it kind of say our celebration comes from the Netherlands. They were a Protestant country along with England, and it kind of flowed this way, and they wanted to kind of de-saint the calendar, is the idea. But these days that are so popular, you know, what do you do with them? And so he kind of becomes transformed from this churchly saint to this kind of, you know, lovable, you know, magic gnome who lives at the North Pole and so forth. So it makes the story of St. Nicholas a little more ecumenical. Everybody can get behind Santa Claus, even whether you're Christian or not, let alone, you know, Protestant or Roman Catholic.
And I take it the latter manifestation, where he now suited in red and commands a team of reindeer, probably has more to do with selling stuff, as you put it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We're talking about St. Nicholas. 2 days in advance of St. Nicholas Day, as the church observes it, 4th century bishop of Myra. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. I want to know, what kind of questions or comments do you have about St. Nicholas? Our email address here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. We have a Twitter address, @issuesetc, @issuesetc, and our phone number on this Friday afternoon, December the 4th, right here in the studio, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Monday on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the Copenhagen Summit on Climate Change. Cal Beisner of the Cornwall Alliance will be our guest. We'll be talking about environmental change. Of course, there's that controversy. I wonder what Cal has to say about it, about all that data, all that climate data that did not support the framework of global warming. And of course, if you go some places on the internet, you could read all about it. Other places, you wouldn't know it's happening. Meanwhile, the president and other world leaders are there talking about climate change. The assumption seems to be, of course, that it's happening and that we're causing it. We'll see what Cal Beisner has to say of Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation Monday on Issues Etc. When we come back, more on St. Nicholas for a few minutes. Then it'll be time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can get ready to call, listen, call, and vote, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us right here in the studio with your votes, talkback@issuesetc.org.
This is not like your normal study Bible.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Wheaton, on the new Lutheran Study Bible.
The wisdom of the church in meditating on the Word of God across the ages is supplied throughout the notes. Any wise, good thing that's been said on the basis of some text of the Bible, they've stuck it in there. It's got prayers. The Bible is replete with these little devotional meditations. It gives you help in witnessing. How can you use this particular doctrine or teaching from God's Word at this point to bring others to Christ, to help them come to know what He's done for them? The Bible is absolutely amazing. It's got great pictures. It's got, well, you can tell I'm excited about it. And I was one who was said to be jaundiced and not appreciative of it.
You can purchase the new Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at our homepage, issuesetc.org. The Lutheran Study Bible.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A Window to the Womb.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In one of the Bible's most famous passages, Psalm 139 reads, "You created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Now, one group is trying to bring this verse to life for women considering abortion. The Psalm 139 Project raises money to purchase ultrasound machines for pregnancy resource centers. Most women facing a crisis pregnancy choose life when they see the baby inside of them. One woman noted, "I was considering abortion until I saw the little hands and feet and heard the little heart beating." For more information, go to Psalm139Project.org.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about St. Nicholas, the real St. Nicholas from the 4th century. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. One more question before we let you go. How do you in the Curtis family observe St. Nicholas Day, and why?
Well, on the night before, we remind the kids to grab their shoes and set them outside their bedroom doors. And then I always make sure that sometime that week I've gone out to a store and gotten those chocolate coins covered in gold and wrappers, aluminum foil, you know, so they look like coins. And then they know that when they wake up, they'll have those in their shoes. And so that night before, we talk about who St. Nicholas is. We talk about this story, and we read a book about him. And it's a great way to, you know, why do we do this? Well, because it makes the church year, it makes celebrating these saints from Christian history part of our spiritual life, and more than that, part of our everyday life. You know, it's not, if you do things like this, if you live the church's calendar, religion ceases to be kind of this, almost like a footnote to your normal life. You know, I think it's very easy for Christians to get into, church-going Christians to get into the kind of life where we go to church on Sunday morning, therefore we're church people, but then the rest of the week is kind of, you know, it's come Lord Jesus and our Father at bedtime, and, you know, that's kind of it. But these celebrations all throughout the year bring the life of Christ in his saints and in his church into our just average, ordinary life. I mean, our kids look forward to St. Nicholas Day every year now.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. Thanks for being our guest.
Good to do it as always.
Folks, Concordia Publishing House has a great picture book for kids. It's titled St. Nicholas, The Real Story of the Christmas Legend. You can purchase it by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen, go to the on-demand page, and look for St. Nicholas, The Real Story of the Christmas Legend.